Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. It is terrific Think and Grow Rich Thursday, May 10th, 2012. Another great day to be alive. Isn't it a miracle that we all woke up this morning and we have the opportunity to look outside and maybe even stick our nose out the window or walk outside and breathe in the fresh, clean, crisp air and fill our lungs with oxygen, that life-giving oxygen that just reinvigorates us each morning? I am so grateful for that gift, and I know you are as well. And another thing that I'm grateful for as well that I'll share with you is I am so grateful for this call. I am so grateful for the people on this call. And yesterday, the depth of my gratitude increased tremendously as we had an amazing, enlightening, inspirational call yesterday morning. But then I grabbed my phone and I went to the gym and I listened to the replay of the call and I was inspired more and I caught more pieces of the call. And then last night, about 10 o'clock at night, my wife and I are sitting out in the living room and I pull out my iPad and we pull up the replay of the call from yesterday and we're listening to the call and my wife's asking me, hey, who's that? And I say, that's Rick Martin. And hey, that's Doc Fran, my wife says. I know that's Doc Fran. And we're listening to just and Todd Young and all the wonderful comments that came out yesterday, and I was again re-inspired and reinvigorated and lifted up, and I just felt so grateful for this group of people that are associating and gathering together on this call, because this is a group of people that, again, inspires me, lifts me up, helps me raise my vision, stretches me, causes me to grow, challenges me to evaluate my character flaws and work on improving them, challenges me to evaluate the beliefs that I have and, you know, investigate, as Doc Fran shared yesterday from his Live Life acronym that he gave to us. Just amazing, amazing stuff. And I hope that you, in fact, I know that if you've been on this call for even a short amount of time, you feel the same way that I do. And I just want to thank you for giving me this gift and challenge you to continue to come on this line and contribute to what we're doing to help each of us grow and move forward in life and in business, because it's a beautiful thing. And if you're just joining us, welcome. And boy, do you have a lot in store. Today, my friends, we are going to delve into Chapter 14 of The Science of Getting Rich by Wallace Wattles. This is a very profound chapter. There's some key ideas in this text that I'm excited about learning and dissecting with each of you on the line. So let us jump into the content, the context of the call, and then we'll open it up for the mastermind session. The impression of increase. Whether you change your vocation or not, your actions for the present must be those pertaining to the business in which you are now engaged. You can get into the business you want by making constructive use of the business you are already established in by doing your daily work in a certain way. And insofar as your business consists in dealing with other people, whether personally or by letter, the key thought of all your efforts must be to convey to their minds the impression of increase. Increase is what all men and all women are seeking. It is the urge of the formless intelligence within them seeking fuller expression. The desire for increase is inherent in all nature. It is the fundamental impulse of the universe. All human activities are based on the desire for increase. People are seeking more food, more clothes, better shelter, more luxury, more beauty, more knowledge, more pleasure, increase in something, more life. Every living thing is under this necessity for continuous advancement. Where increase of life ceases, disillusion and death set in at once. Man instinctively knows this, and therefore he is forever seeking more. This law of perpetual increase is set forth by Jesus in the parable of the talents. Only those who gain more retain any. From him who has not shall be taken away, even that which he has. The normal desire for increased wealth is not an evil or reprehensible thing. It is simply the desire for more abundant life. It is aspiration. And because it is the deepest instinct of their natures, all men and women are attracted to those who can give them more of the means of life. In following this certain way, as described in the foregoing pages, you are getting continuous increase for yourself, and you are giving it to all with whom you deal. You are a creative center from which increase is given off to all. Be sure of this and convey assurance of the fact to every man, woman, and child with whom you come in contact. No matter how small the transaction, even if it be only the selling of a stick of candy to a little child, put into it the thought of increase. And make sure that the customer is impressed with the thought. Convey the impression of advancement with everything you do, so that all people shall receive the impression that you are an advancing personality, and that you advance all who you deal with, even to the people whom you meet in a social way, without any thought of business, and to whom you do not try to sell anything. Give the thought of increase. You can convey this impression by holding the unshakable faith that you yourself are in the way of increase, and by letting this faith inspire, fill, and permeate every action. Do everything that you do in the firm conviction that you are an advancing personality and that you are giving advancement to everybody. Feel that you are getting rich, and that in doing so, you are making others rich and conferring benefits on all. Do not brag or boast of your success or talk about it unnecessarily. True faith is never boastful. Wherever you find a boastful person, you find one who is secretly doubtful and afraid. Simply feel the faith and let it work out in every transaction. Let every act and tone and look express the quiet assurance that you are getting rich, that you are already rich. Words will not be necessary to communicate this feeling to others. They will feel the sense of increase when in your presence and will be attracted to you again. You must so impress others that they will feel that in associating with you, they will get increase for themselves. See that you give them a use value greater than the cash value you are taking from them. Take an honest pride in doing this and let everybody know it, and you will have no lack of customers. People will go where they are given increase, and the Supreme, which desires increase in all and which knows all, will move toward you, men and women who have never heard of you. Your business will increase rapidly, and you will be surprised at the unexpected benefits which will come to you. You will be able from day to day to make larger combinations, secure greater advantages, and to go on into a more congenial vocation if you desire to do so. But doing all this, you must never lose sight of your vision of what you want or your faith and purpose to get what you want. Let me here give you another word of caution in regard to motives. Beware of the insidious temptation to seek for power over other people. Nothing is so pleasant to the unformed or partially developed mind as the exercise of power or dominion over others. The desire to rule for selfish gratification has been the curse of the world. For countless ages, kings and lords have drenched the earth in blood in their battles to extend their dominions, not to seek more life for all, but to get more power for themselves. Today, the main motive in the business and industrial world is the same. Men marshal their armies of dollars and lay waste to the lives and hearts of millions in the same mad scramble for power over others. Commercial kings, like political kings, are inspired by the lust for power. Look out for the temptation to seek for authority, to become a master, to be considered as one who is above the common herd, to impress others by lavish display, and so on. The mind that seeks for mastery over others is the competitive mind, and the competitive mind is not the creative one. In order to master your environment and your destiny, it is not at all necessary that you should rule over your fellow men. And indeed, when you fall into the world's struggle for the high places, you begin to be conquered by fate and environment, and your getting rich becomes a matter of chance and speculation. Beware of the competitive mind. No better statement of the principle of creative action can be formulated than the favorite declaration of the late Golden Rule, Jones of Toledo. What I want for myself, I want for everybody. I'm going to go ahead and unmute the lines here, folks. Star 6 to unmute your line. Any thoughts on the content of what we've just gone over? Agree? Disagree? Anyone infuriated by the idea? Hey, Judy, good morning.
Good morning. This is just so awesome. I so understand that every living thing is under the necessity for continuous advancement. I keep in my thought every living thing. I don't even kill bugs because they are every living thing. And to include myself in that is such growth for me. And to pertain that to getting rich. And what I like is this line that says, the normal desire for increased wealth is not an evil or reprehensible thing. It is simply the desire for more abundant life. It is aspiration. Wow. That hit me like a ton of bricks. Because I've lived my life for increasement in all things, but money. And this is a big change for me, and it is so, it is getting so focused. And I want this for everybody. I just want this for every living thing. And those are my thoughts on this chapter. Every living thing to be wealthy. Thank you. Back to you, Paul.
Judy, love those comments. Thank you so much for sharing your ideas and your passion there. And you reminded me of another line that we went through in a previous chapter, and it's a short and simple line, but it kind of applies to what we're talking about. And the phrase is, more life to all and less to none. More life to all and less to none. I think that's a powerful line, and thank you for reminding me of that. Star 6, who's next?
Hey, Paul.
Yes.
Yeah, the statement there that, you know, what I want for myself, I want one. And the thing that that I find that I want for myself more than anything else, and it brings the greatest joy and fulfillment, is actually freedom. Being free, and I'm amazed at how many people that I encounter that we fool ourselves in thinking that we're seeking and going toward what we want when it's really not true. So the self-deception can be amazing, and so to get to a point to where you can truly be free, you do have to learn how to be true to yourself and overcome the deception and the games and the lies that not only that we play with others, but that we do with ourselves in terms of deceiving ourselves. So there is this struggle to go through. You do have to go through a struggle. You do have to be willing to stretch yourself and to come into the truth in order to have that freedom. Back to you, Paul.
Thank you, Melvin. Always appreciate your comments. I appreciate those thoughts. Star 6, who's next?
Hi, Paul. This is Lenny. Good morning.
Hi, Lenny. Good morning. How are you today?
I am well, thank you. And I have been in outside sales pretty much all my life, except for when I was a teacher. So it's many, many years. And I have always really disliked the idea of competition. And if you've been in the sales world, you know that the managers thrive on pitting people against each other in the name of competition. And it always made me really physically sick to think about it. And so I never really got into that whole world of competing with my fellow salespeople and you know, being concerned with the numbers and who was top and who was bottom. And, you know, I considered it a really, really, really negative way to go about doing business. And I am so thrilled to read this book and hear about, you know, similar thoughts about competition and how negative it is and how, you know, it really doesn't support life and cooperation among people. And I think that's one of the biggest things that I've gotten out of this, is that confirmation that all of us, you know, can live a great life and that we don't have to be competing with each other. Thank you.
Thank you, Lenny. Appreciate those comments. And I've got to share one little thought along those lines. I once read a talk on, it was actually on pride. And one of the things that it said in this talk was that pride is when somebody gets joy not out of having something, but out of having more of it than someone else. And I'm reminded of my little kids. You know, I've got four little boys, and lots of times when one of them will get something, the first thing that he wants to do is run to his brothers and rub it in their face and say, "Hey, look what I got and you didn't get." You know, and it really is kind of a childish way to look at life. Competition, I think it's just important that we look at maybe, you know, the particular aspect of competition that might not be so healthy. And I think that the main thing there is getting joy not out of having something, not out of achieving something, not out of being the best that you can be, but getting joy out of the fact, oh yeah, I'm better than so and so, and that's where my joy comes from. I beat this person. I got more than they did. I think that's where the danger lies. So appreciate those thoughts, Lenny. Star six. Who else? Any other thoughts there?
Hi, Paul. Neville.
Neville. Good morning.
Good morning, sir. Good morning to everyone. It's a great day, and I'm alive. And so all of us on this line. It's a fascinating thing you just said. I think Lenny, the young lady who just spoke, and she said that I was also in direct sales for many years. And it was competition. Let me put it another way. I was in an industry where they say it was limited resource. Oil was limited. Natural gas is limited. Yet natural gas was more abundant than oil and all the other negative things. So you begin to speak negative of the competition. They begin to show how your product was better than theirs. So you're trying to destroy the oil companies that are running against the gas companies. In addition to that, in the office, we have those boards at the office. And I'm there, each day people came in and they put up their sales. And, you know, everybody's trying to say, look at the board you're walking each morning, who's doing the best and things like that. So you begin to compete against the people in the office. So you begin to find ways to wipe out everyone in the office by others are posting their sales every day. You waited near the end of the month. And you're walking with a bag full of sales orders, so which means you might come in with twice as much or more than anybody else on the board, and then you're treated well and you felt good. It was not until I read Ogmandino in his book, And I began to realize that, I think he said, to surpass the deeds of others is unimportant. To surpass my own deeds is all I need to do. So I learned how to work month by month, day by day, you know, and not really trying to beat the other guy. It's trying to beat myself. And in so doing, I realized that I was less stressed, and I produced even more than I used to produce prior to understanding the fact of what it said, that you should be humble, and you should go for not walk around braggadocious, but walk around in humility and be thankful for what you have received. And now here it is, comes again, that's being said also by Mr. Wallace, that was B. Wattles, that you should not. You shouldn't compete, look to compete against someone else. Because when you compete against someone else, you can't really love them. Don't care what you say in that sense. Because you're taking away, you're trying to take away from them so you can have more for yourself. And if the foundation, the essential truth, is that we should love everyone. And I think Judy said, love everything. You throw love out. You all humankind, you throw love out. And then you walk out and you will be successful. Because when I did that, I had more success than when I was just trying to beat the crap out of someone else. Back to you, Paul. Thank you very much.
Neville, great thoughts. Appreciate those. Hey, can I ask you the quote from Og Mandino? You said, to surpass the deeds of others is unimportant. To surpass my own deeds is, what was the end of that?
All.
Is all?
Is all. He said, to surpass the deeds of others is unimportant. To surpass my own deeds is all. That's all I need to do from day to day. And what led up to that is like today, you did the best you can. But tomorrow you do a little more than you did today. And the following day, you're intending to do a little better than you did the day before. And you keep on doing, but you're doing it according to your ability to do what you need to do. If you're climbing a mountain, today I did the best. I could only climb up to this. For those of us who climb rock walls, when you first start, you could only climb to this thing today. But you go back to try to climb to another level. And you push. Until you kept getting higher and higher and higher. And there's an African statement that goes, after I climb this mountain, I'm going to climb this mountain so I can reach the mountains behind. So every time you get up higher, there's another mountain to climb. But you're not competing against someone else. It's you, your life that you're trying to build. So like he said, to surpass the deeds of others is unimportant. To surpass my own deeds is all, in effect, that's all I need to do and to improve.
Awesome. Powerful thoughts, Neville. Thank you so much for sharing those. If you have unmuted your line and you're not speaking, please press *6 to mute your line. We're getting somebody's breathing in the phone a little bit, so *6, please. And who's next? Come on out.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, Todd Young.
Todd, go ahead, sir.
Good morning. This is a really, really profound chapter. You know, when we operate from the competitive mind, we're focused on winning and tend to develop, like an us versus them mentality in our mind. And when you do that, there's not enough of everything to go around. And so there's winners and losers. And our actions are not focused on the greater good and expansion for all. And conversely, when we operate from the creative mind, we're focused on growth and expansion for everyone and everything. We come from a position of abundance with a name to benefit all. There really are no winners and no losers. Back to you, Paul.
I appreciate you sharing that, Todd, and I know, Ernie, you're ready to come out. Let me just throw something else out here to think about too. In this topic of competition, Todd and I are actually neck and neck in a competition right now. We're within one of each other, and I don't think, and I could be wrong, but I don't think competition, like a sales competition, is inherently bad. I think it's the attitude and the mindset in which we view the and participate in the competition. And let me elaborate on that a little bit. Todd and I are competing against each other in this competition, or I should say competing with each other, because that's how I look at it. What I want for myself is to be the best that I can be. And if me being the best that I – if Todd being the best that he can be encourages me to be the best that I can be, and that's my focus, then that competition is actually a healthy thing, and we're encouraging each other to stretch and move forward and help more people. And it's when I start to look at that competition as, oh, there's a limited number of people or business to go around, and for me to win, I've got to take from Todd and put myself above him. That's the competitive mind I think that Wallace is talking about. So my opinion is that competition in and of itself is not a bad thing. It's the mindset in which we participate and view those competitions. Ernie, go ahead, sir. I thought that was Ernie. Maybe it was someone else. Who was there coming out with Todd?
Keith. It's Keith here.
Oh, hey, Keith. Go ahead.
Yeah, this chapter kind of screams out at me exactly what you were saying about the competition. And it's really about improving yourself and being the best you can be. Instinctively, as we get older, if we quit learning things and stretching our bounds, we stagnate. And when we stagnate, we basically get stuck in a rut. And so what this chapter says to me is to constantly improve and be better than you can be. And you can improve your life and people around you also. Back to you, Paul.
Love it. Thank you so much,
hey,
Keith.
Paul,
great
George.
Thought. Yeah, George, go ahead, sir.
Hey, buddy. I just was sitting here listening to your little comment about the wanting to be in competition. What you've done, essentially, is you've created a synergy that you're both going to exceed anybody's dreams about where you could go with that contest. But no one's going to be able to catch you. So you guys are going to be racing all by yourself. Is that what you want?
Say that one more time. I'm not sure I understood what you were saying there, George.
I'm saying you and your partner there are competing against each other, and you're creating a synergy, feeding off each other's successes, and you're creating an environment where people are going to have to really work hard to catch up with you. So the two of you are going to be leading the pack by a great distance, and I think it's a great idea, and I think it's something that people have to think about.
That's a great point. And if it causes... everybody or anybody to strive for more and be better than maybe they are at whatever point they're at, then that may not be a bad thing. Star Six, who's next? Thanks for those comments, George.
Hi, Paul. This is Ernie.
Ernie, go ahead.
Hi, Paul. I do appreciate you calling my name out. I was really not thinking about getting on the call today. And that's two things I like to bring out is, one, yeah, you called my name, and it inspired me to think of what I would have said if I had come on the call. So I would like to tell anyone that is on the call, if you do have a downline in your business or you just have a coworker in your business, just reach out to them. Call them by name. And sometimes that small recognition or the way you even say their name might inspire them to feel good about themselves or just be more invigorated about what it is they're doing. But in the sense of competition, I'd like to remind each of us that we have 24 hours a day. We all have the same amount of time. And it's the things we do to repetitively in our lives to increase our lives. And the main and best thing that I've done with my life is try to find better time management and allocating time in a day or in a week to do certain things. Like, I know you stay very busy with lining up all these calls for the week. I don't know how you do it with doing all the training calls, all the webinars, and I wonder sometimes if you even remember to breathe. I know it's got to be so hard for you. So we all need to remember, like Dr. Fran says to remember our definite purpose and try to recite it every day or as much as possible, and to write down things that we need to get done in our lives. And the one thing I've learned over this call, on this call over the past several weeks, is just the small success things that we do. It's not so much about achieving, but helping others to achieve as well. But if it's just getting to church on time, or if it's making it to a store before they close at a certain time, those small accolades that I've been achieving over the past week or two after being on these calls and hearing these inspiring words to learn to accept success within yourself with the small things that you achieve, it will inspire you to set higher goals and to strive to reach them even more. So thank you for calling my name out and inspiring me to get on the call. And that's one thing I'd like to challenge everyone to do, to reach out to others that are in their business that may not have spoke to in a while that's directly linked to them. And also, just to try to manage your time better. Write down the things you need to get done. And if you can't get them done in the 24 hours you have, put them at the top of the list for the next day. Just keep adding. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ernie. Always appreciate your comments. Thank you. Star 6, who's next?
Hi, this is Bill Winch.
Bill Winch, good morning.
Good morning there, Paul. there's a couple of things. First of all, when they mentioned Og Mandino, he is really a fantastic author because I love the way he illustrates things to bring points home. So if people haven't read any of his works, like The Greatest Salesman in the World or whatever, he's written so many of them, pick up a book. They're small. They're easy to read. But just seeing how he illustrates and brings points home can help us grow our business in many ways. But the thing that really got to me today was you and Justin especially, which talks about convey the impression of advancement with everything you do so that all people shall receive the impression that you are an advancing personality and that you advance all who you deal with. First of all, this call is really the epitome of that, because that's exactly what you do. And anytime I've talked to you, it's always been the same way. And when you do those calls, when you're calling people, I really learned a lot from when you and Justin talk. The first thing you do, you don't try to push anything down anybody's throat about your business. You always say to them, how may I be of service to you? How may I help you? And even when you leave a message, you know, I see you out there on the internet looking for help and growing your business, or I see you out there looking for something to help you earn more money, and you always say, how may I be of help to you? It's not saying, here's what I have to offer, you better get it. And so many times when you get all these calls, it's really crazy, you know, these network dialers and everything, the message that they leave isn't one of help, it's one, I have something you need, which is a totally different slant on things. So I have learned that, and when I leave my messages now for whatever business I'm dealing with, I always say, you know, I'm what we need to do is to talk so that I can see how I may help you best. And I picked that up from both you and Justin when you did those training calls. So I want to thank you for that. But to me, you know, that is so important, looking for helping other people with that advancing personality. Back to you, Paul.
Bill, wow, thank you for those great compliments and thoughts, and thank you for taking what we're learning here in a theoretical fashion and really giving us a rock-solid way to apply it directly into what we're doing on a daily basis, and it works. I mean, think about all the people that are out there just looking for someone to reach their hand down a little bit and help them, you know, get to the next stepping stone in their life. That's what we're all looking for. I mean, all of us, we're all just looking for that person that can help us, you know, open our eyes a little bit wider, see a little bit further, maybe figure out a little missing piece to the puzzle so that we can move forward in life. And when we're prospecting, as you so eloquently stated, Bill, that's what one of the things we want to do is just express that we're here to help. Even if somebody doesn't join our business, hey, we're still here to help. We're still here to maybe make a friend. So really, really appreciate it. That's a powerful comment there, Bill. Thank you for that. Star 6, who's next?
This is Linda.
Todd.
Lindy, good morning. Go ahead.
Good morning. Yeah, I think Bill hit it right on the head. People, I read somewhere that men fall in love with the women that make them feel good about themselves when they're with them. And that really can be translated into any relationships, whether it's business, personal, friendships. I mean, we want to be around the people that lift us up. And that's what this call is so powerful at doing. Every one of us gets so lifted up. And that's why we keep coming back. And I have to agree with Bill on another level too, Paul, that you are so awesome at making every single one of us feel so important, and that everything we have to contribute to the call is important to everybody. And we love you for that. So keep up the good work.
Thank you, Lindy. Really, from the bottom of my heart, appreciate those great thoughts and compliments. Love you too, actually. Star 6, who is that coming out there with Lindy?
Hey, Paul.
Yes.
I said Todd. See, my coach is on my brain. That was me. It's Fred in New Jersey.
Hey, Fred. Good morning.
All good.
Fred, man, giant Rothschild.
Sometimes. that's you. Regarding this chapter, it's a very intense and a very important chapter for us all. There's no question. And for me, my interpretation, and not to take away from anybody, immediately reverts to Todd and Doc Fran. There's a reason when you leave people better with the creative mind, when you leave people better than you found them, not just in value, but just even with something simple such as a gentle word, a smile, whatever. When you start to become attractive in that sense, business, marketing, as a man or a woman, you start to rise. You become it's like honey. The bees just start coming to stick to you. That's why, you know, people attract a crowd. And those two gentlemen, Todd and Doc Fran, are the absolute anti-guru. They operate with humility, and you as well, Paul. And that just affirms why people are able to build such big organizations. And that's taken right out of those are laws of business. And I study a lot of different business people, and it's the old school board of directors that I refer to as, you know, Jim Rohn, Glenn W. Turner, James Tollison, Tom Big Al Schrader. That's how all those guys built, you know, back in the day with less tools than we have today, without the computers, built these massive, and I mean massive, organizations based on humility and making those around you better. And people see that. They sense it. People know. People would know if you were, you know, you're leading these calls. If you were a jerk, and you're certainly not, people would sense it right away. Everybody would. And when people start to sense you, anybody, that, wow, this person, this man, this woman is likable. They're friendly. They come off as genuine. There's nothing disingenuous about you. Man, you attract it's like the floodgates open. And that's why everybody's so, you know, that's why Doc Fran is so attractive in that respect, and why people flock to him, and why I just listen on the edge of my seat at every word, because that's the right way to operate. And it's so profound. I can't even go deeper because I understand it all, but, you know, applying it all is part of all our journeys. It's an ongoing thing. It's all part of the work in progress. But when that happens and you start to rise up like that, and people start to smell it, sense it, it's an unstoppable force. It affirms the whole chain of command. What Todd had said previously, it just brings it ties it all together like a glue. Thank you,
Fred. Love the great, great, great points. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Star 6, who's next?
Paul?
Yeah, who's that?
George here again.
Hey, George.
All right, Paul, you're inspiring me to enter the contest that you're in. How would I get into that contest so I can overtake you?
Message me on Facebook, and I'll tell you about it.
Okay, buddy, I appreciate it. I'll be there.
You bet, you bet. Here's a quote for everyone from one of my favorite leaders, Art Williams. Look at everyone you work with in business. You have to pretend that there is a flashing sign on everyone's chest and everyone is asking you, make me feel special, make me feel important, say something good to me, I want to be somebody. It's one of the ways that we can convey increase is to just imagine that, you know, when we're working with people. Star 6, who's next? Come on out.
Good morning. This is Liz.
Hey, Liz. Good morning.
Another word that comes to mind as we talk about increase and attractiveness and expansion is just the word healing, which really means to be whole. And so it's like, who isn't attracted to someone who is whole and committed to becoming more whole as we go across this journey called life? And the same is in business. Like everyone on the call has been saying, you know, you want to help other people feel whole while you're working on that yourself. It makes them feel good. It makes you feel good. For me, that's part of what makes this call so important in the way that I start my day. But as I commit to working on myself, healing myself, that is what I desire to help other people with too. And the sentence in the chapter that kind of really goes with that is what says, people will go where they are given increase, and the supreme, which desires increase in all and which knows all, will move toward you, men and women who've never heard of you. I love that. Back to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Liz. I love that as well, and really powerful concepts that you just shared with us, healing and becoming whole. Powerful. Star 6, who's next?
Judy from Florida.
Hey, Judy. Good morning. Go ahead.
You know, I'm sorry to double dip, but, you know, you talked about healthy competition, and I am not a competitive person, never have been in my entire life, but there is healthy competition. You know, I've given a little background of myself, and one of the ways I live, and I pass this on in groups, is that I've learned that as I think of you first, as I believe in your wellness first, I'm automatically taken care of. That's the way I've lived for 3 decades. And this chapter lets me know I'm on the right track. As I believe in you and your uplift, then mine comes. And it's very satisfying to myself that, you know, I'm not alone in this attitude. And I got to tell you, people think I'm crazy because I work in groups where people believe that they come first. And to me, the law of life tells me that as I believe in you first, then I'm automatically taken care of and my wealth comes. And I just wanted to throw that out, that I feel like I'm on the right track and have been for a while. And I'm just being, it's increased exponentially right now. Everything that I'm getting from these calls, I am increased. And I thank everybody for believing in me and my uplift. I just wanted to throw that out. I am so excited and overwhelmed and awestruck by all this that I want to shout it to the rooftops. Thank you, Paul, and back to you.
Thank you, Judy. Excellent comments, and I'll say that history seems to show that when people think you're crazy, you're usually on the right path. So kudos to you, and keep up the good work. Star 6, who's next?
Good morning, Mr. Hutchins, on his BEA. Beautiful day.
Good morning, Marty. Love
your energy.
How
are you, sir?
Oh, man, I'm so good. Thank you for asking.
You are, and I thank you for having these calls. I couldn't wait to today's call after what I heard yesterday. I just want to make a quick comment on competition. I used to grow up playing ball all the time, like Todd, but not at his level. And there's a lot of competition when you face other people that are better than you, and that's how you get better. However, the biggest competition is always and I don't know if people ever thought of it this way, but the competition against yourself is the biggest competition that you can improve on, because you're really competing on what you did the week before and the week before and even yesterday. So what I did last week or yesterday, how did I compete against it? If I can use the tools I'm learning and the advice I'm taking from everybody, and it may not be next week or it could be the week after, as long as I'm taking them tools and improving, competing on what I did last week and improving on the performance last week to be a better performer this week and better competitor, I'm learning, I'm getting better, that's all you can do. And so basically the best competition to heal yourself is against yourself, because we're all striving to be the best. And maybe you just didn't realize you are competing against yourself on your past performances, and what you want to do is get them better. And how do you do it? You get on these calls, you use the tools we're learning from the great leaders on this call. That's just a comment I had today and just my thoughts. So I thank you for taking my advice, or not my advice, but I just thank you for letting me speak. And back to you, Paul.
Very well said, and thank you, Marty. Star 6, who's next?
Hey, Paul.
Let's see, I heard a gentleman right before Melvin. Who is that?
This is Ken from Twin Falls.
Ken, go ahead, sir, and then Melvin next.
Hey, I just really had a question for you. I really enjoy these calls. I'm new to them and everything. And the book that you're reading from, I've been meaning to, I just haven't caught the name of it. Could you tell me what that is?
You bet. It's called The Science of Getting Rich by Wallace Wattles.
Wallace?
Wattles. Yeah, and you can find a free copy in ebook form many places on the internet. I have one on my blog in the Mindset section.
Okay. How do you spell his last name?
W-A-T-T-L-E-S.
Okay. And the, I'm sorry, the title, or the, yeah, the title once again was?
The Science of Getting Rich.
Science of Getting Rich.
Uh-huh.
Okay, yeah, I've been picking up these books. I've been reading stuff from Napoleon Hill and stuff like that, and I really enjoy these calls, too. They're very inspirational. You and all the folks on there, I think, are great, and I look forward to getting up every morning and listening in. And I thank you for that, Paul.
Thank you, Ken. So good to hear. Thank you for joining us and being on the line. Melvin, go ahead, my friend.
Hey, Paul. You do an excellent job in the way you handle these calls. So, you know, just be very proud of yourself for that. It's a beautiful job. I just want to say that everybody's on the button here that's talking about competition is competition with oneself. If we just realize that what we want to do is to be a better person tomorrow than we are today, anything I can do to improve on myself, that's the competition that you want to be about, not with someone else, but simply about yourself. And if we can get on that right track and understand that properly, we've got it made. Rather than being in competition with others, which is always going to keep you on the wrong track. And in many ways, people, it gets you off the track to the degree that you start cheating and you play all kind of games and you're taking yourself down instead of up with that kind of phony competition. I think about even our politics today, the Democrats and Republicans, how that situation is so bad, the lies, the games, the deception, all the things they do trying to win rather than truly having a group of people working together for the betterment of all. So, competition is really, truly, truly, truly against ourselves, to just be better today than we were yesterday. If we can just get into that, we're going to have it made. Back to you, Paul.
Thank you, Melvin, for reiterating that point. It's so true. Star 6, who's next?
Good morning, guys. It's Doc Fran.
Good morning, Doc.
I love this chapter, and those of you who noticed that I didn't get any inspiration out yesterday, it's because AWeber and their incident, the desire to be ever greater and more glitzy than the next competitor, changed their entire formatting for uploading the messages. And how many of you on the call are aware that I'm technologically challenged? And so it was really difficult. Well, finally, I got on this morning with customer care and got that handled. So I missed the most of the discussion up until just a few minutes ago. I heard the tail end of Fred's comments, and thank you very much, Fred. But what I'd like to do is tie in a couple of things from this chapter. And we've talked in the past with the idea that virtually every thought we have is a prayer. And so the concept being that we literally all are praying without ceasing every day, all day. And then we've put forth the concept that when you worry, you are praying for things that you don't want. And so even those thoughts are your prayers. And then it struck me this morning when we're looking at the difference between competition and creativity, because we're all human, unfortunately, and fortunately, we all have a tendency to do all of those things which we've been patterned to do from childhood. And one of those, of course, is to backslide. And one of the foundational steps in effective prayer that I learned through the minister at our church is the first step that he does whenever he is in conscious prayer is forgive. And forgiveness is an incredibly powerful state of mind to allow yourself to be in. And one of the things that we need to do is learn to forgive ourselves and forgive ourselves fully and forgive ourselves fully for the backsliding, for the things we don't do perfectly, the things that we intend to do and don't get done, for exhibiting recurrent behaviors that we know are counterproductive. And so one of those behaviors that I'm guilty of, and how insidious competition is, there was a quote in one of the books that if you're taking score, you're not in faith. But it's a natural instinct for us to want to track our business and keep score. And basically keeping score is, did we increase today from yesterday? And so that becomes an internal competition. But unfortunately, it takes us out of faith. And the reason that I kind of put that long preamble is to come in and really understand the power of this comment that Wallace Wattles makes today about conveying the impression of increase, and to do everything that you do in the firm conviction that you are in advancing or increasing mode at all times. And the key is to do that without checking. I've talked about a book by Wayne Dyer. And the title is just so beautiful. It says, "You'll see it when you believe it." And we've had that discussion many times on this very call, that what you believe is what you will manifest. And, of course, the common adage in our life is, "I'll see it when I believe it," or I'll believe it when I see it. So you want to convey the impression of advancement with everything that you do. And that comes from the unshakable faith or conviction that you are, in fact, increasing. If we feel compelled to measure that progress, then a little trick that I'm using now and will suggest to us to practice because it does take practice, is rather than use a concrete measuring stick, meaning looking at the numbers every day or looking at the gauges obsessively or keeping track on a tally format, we've already covered the reality that the mind does not know the difference between the illusion that we call observed reality and imaginary, created reality. So if you must measure that illusion of increase against an imaginary yardstick. And folks, it'll work. That's how you create the continuous impression of increase. Always see yourself at that number, which we've all written down in our book, in our major definite purpose, in our formula for success. And every day in your mind, look at that gauge sliding along that imaginary yardstick, getting closer and closer and closer to that endpoint goal. And folks, that's where you create the manifestation that you're imaging in your mind. Back to you, Paul.
That's a powerful concept. So you've just kind of expressed that looking at daily checking, you know, where you're at, keeping score, looking at, you know, where you're at this point in time can have a negative effect because it's taking us away from the holding tight to that vision of where we see ourselves, and it takes us out of that state of gratitude, potentially, knowing that that vision is on its way to us. So what you're saying, Doc, is if you must check, or just trying to understand a little bit further, if you must keep score, imagine, do you say you imagine seeing that score continually increase, or do you just not even keep score and just focus on what you're bringing into your life?
Well, if you know, it's a human tendency to keep score and to tally. And so the trick is to do all of that in your mind and just constantly see yourself advancing to your final goal, because you were right on the first part of your comments. When you stop and look at the, quote, reality of where you are right now, it can be exciting if the physical reality at this instant in time is up, or it can be absolutely demotivating if it's not up, or if it's not where you thought it should be, or if it has actually gone backwards from where you were. And that's where we lose the faith, because we are locked into the, quote, reality of what we're observing in our circumstance. And the key is to try and break that habit. And it's hard to do, guys. I break the habit. I've slid back into that pattern of behavior. And so as I was reading this today, the inspiration came is when I have been in a constant up spiral, it's when I don't check the gauges at all, not only in my current company, but in my life. The only time I ever interrupt the increasing of abundance in my life is when I start to think about the flow that's occurring right now in my life. And rather than allow the uninhibited flow of the universe to that goal that you've set, that request that you've made of the universe, the minute you stop and start to inspect where you are in physical reality towards that goal, you actually start creating blocks in the flow. And any little doubt, any little thing like that, is inhibitory to the continual unfolding of the manifestation of your goal.
Hey, Doc.
Yo.
Doc, George here. Could I sum up what you just said in the simple comment that was made many, many, many years ago by a very, very well-respected sailor named John Paul Jones? I may have him wrong in the name, but damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead. You two guys are awesome. I'm going to replay this over and over on my phone because it's just, it's unbelievable. You two are wonderful. Thank you very much for your insights.
Thank you, George.
Thank
you,
George.
I hope that cleared it up.
Yeah, I think it did. And a line from The Science of Getting Rich that I'm reminded of by what you've just shared, Doc, is to think truth regardless of appearance. To think truth regardless of appearance, because what we're looking at now, let's say that you are poor, your money is, low in your bank account, you're living in, what you perceive to be the lowest circumstances, living conditions on the face of the earth. The reality is that does not matter if you have a brighter vision of where you're going, you're developing faith, you have a plan, and you're taking action. And if you're constantly looking at your current situation rather than where you're going, the reality as you perceive it to be can be deceiving, and you're not thinking truth regardless of appearance. So very, very powerful, powerful, powerful stuff. Folks, thank you so much for this wonderful call. I love you. Believe in you.
Hey, Paul,
you are special. Yes, who's that?
John, Sacramento. Tell me where to get the replay.
The replay, 712-432-0990. Again, that's 712-432-0990. Access code 565-762-pound.
Thanks.
You betcha. Make it a great day, folks. We'll see you back here tomorrow morning on the Think and Grow Rich call.